This is Pastor Doug Joseph of Christian Apostolic Church, Clarksburg, West Virginia, inviting you to attend the annual Fresh Oil Conference, a time of anointing that is sure to be a powerful, transformational event in your life. This year's lineup includes spiritual giants such as Dr. David K. Bernard, General Superintendent of the United Pentecostal Church International, Reverend Aaron Bounds, lead pastor of the Anchor Church of Zanesville, Ohio, evangelist Carlton Clark of Phoenix, Arizona, and West Virginia's own Anthony Moss, lead pastor of North Charleston Apostolic Church. Get your free tickets online at cac.us.com/tickets. The event is free, but act quickly because space is limited and the seats are already almost all taken. Fresh Oil is a powerful encounter for people from virtually all levels of faith. Attend and receive a greater anointing for a deeper level in your walk with God. Join a wildfire of worship. Experience an avalanche of anointing. Hear the call of God for the fulfillment of your destiny. Fresh Oil Conference 2016, August 18 through 20 at Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg. The pre-conference service is Wednesday, August 17 at 7 p.m. The keynote address Thursday, August 18 at 7:30 p.m. Friday, August 19, morning anointing will be at 10 a.m. and evening anointing at 7:30 p.m. And the capstone service Saturday evening, August 20 at 6 p.m. Again, for more information or to get your free tickets, visit us online at cac.us.com/tickets. That's cac.us.com/tickets. Don't miss Fresh Oil 2016, a time of anointing you'll never forget.
Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Today's broadcast is entitled Noble Romans, Part 2. It's a continuation of a message we began airing last week. But before we get to that, let's hear a great song about freedom from our friends Phillips, Craig, and Dean. From their album Restoration, the name of this song is Freedom's Never Free.
Standing on a hillside where the river meets the sea, white crosses without number line the fields of peace, and each one a silent witness staring back at me. And every cross a story of another place and time, where young men thought it worthy to give their life for mine. And for the sake of honor left their dreams behind, for the price they paid, I'm forever in their debt. Their memory will not die, 'cause I will not forget.
I will stand and hold my head up high. I will dedicate my life to the glory of the ones who had to die. I will live, live what I believe, if I'm no one else but me.
To remember that freedom's never free. On another hillside, just outside the city gates, the battle lines were drawn as soldiers took their place. The father watched in silence as a cross was raised. With freedom drawn closer, he took his final breath. He drank a cup of guilt and took the sting from death. Heaven's finest soldier clothed in human flesh, for the price he paid, I'm forever in his debt. The cross will never die, 'cause I will not forget.
I will stand and hold my head up high. I will dedicate my life to the glory.
will walk free. I will stay free. I will live free. I will die free. Stand, hold my head up high. I will dedicate my life to the glory of the one.
Today's broadcast is entitled Noble Romans, Part 2. It's a continuation of a message we began airing last week, and it includes lessons that we can learn from some of the noble Roman citizens described in God's Word. And as we join the lesson already in progress, we've just pointed out the humility of the Roman centurion who encountered Jesus, and we're discussing the fact that pride is a very negative trait that we all need to seek to overcome.
Pride says, I think I'm pretty valuable. I think I'm pretty important. And how dare they not demonstrate to me my great value? And the devil's very clever. There will be an occasion when the pastor will miss you in the service, and he will contact you because you're so valuable. And you get offended. But then a year later, you skip church just to see how important you are. And the pastor remembers when you got offended. So this time, he's afraid to call. Meanwhile, you're sitting at home saying, nobody's calling me! The Bible says that pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. The Bible does not say, is any among you sick? Let him sit back like a fat cat, and everybody come running to him. The Bible says, is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders. I get amazed at people that say, I'm offended that nobody came and prayed for me when I was sick. Did you call and tell anybody you were sick? I get the message sometimes, yes, Pastor, I was in the hospital, but I'm home now. You were in the hospital? When were you in the hospital? We did not know you were in the hospital. Well, yeah, I know. I didn't tell anybody. This is what we get. But behind the scenes, it's, can you believe and nobody visited me and nobody called me? Pride. There's one scripture that says that a man ought not to think more of himself than he ought to. Running around saying, I'm worthless, is wrong. That is falling off the cliff to one extreme. But running around saying how valuable I am and look at me, that's falling off the cliff to the other extreme. The truth is in the middle somewhere. There's one key word. I'm going to quote another pithy saying from Brother Billy Cole. He taught his elders this. There is nothing in this entire world more valuable than a faithful saint of God. Key word there, faithful. Because an unfaithful saint of God has traded in their great value for whatever it is that they're participating in instead of being faithful. The Lord Jesus has a conversation with a Gentile soldier. The word centurion means that he was a commander over 100 soldiers. Jesus looked at a man who was pretty high up in the Roman army, had pretty high rank on his shoulders, had a lot of soldiers under his command, had a very comfortable income, had a house with slaves in it. He looked at a man that normally, when you find a man at this stage in his life, he's pretty stuck on himself. He's pretty high on himself. He's pretty proud of himself. And Jesus looks at a man who, instead of being proud of himself, is humble. It is of note to me that this man recognized his place. He didn't say, "Oh, I'm a dirtbag." It's not what he said. He recognized in the hierarchy of the Roman army where he was. "I'm not at the top, but I'm also not at the bottom. I'm in the middle here. I've got people in authority over me, and I'm under them. And I've got people in authority under me, and I'm over them." He recognized his place. It's wise for us to recognize our place. A lot of problems go on when people try to fix stuff that's not their business, because they don't recognize their place. A lot of problems come up because people don't take care of things that are their responsibility, and they try to take care of things that aren't their responsibility. You know, kids have that little saying, none your business. It's important for us to realize what is our business and what isn't. God put Adam, the Bible says that God made a garden eastward in Eden. A lot of people think that Eden was the garden. It wasn't. Eden was the place that the garden was in the eastward part of it. Eastward in Eden. So apparently there was part of Eden that was not garden, and part of Eden that was garden. And some type of a hedge or dividing line or demarcation or boundary or wall separating what was garden from what was not garden. And God told Adam, "I want you to tend to this garden and cultivate it and protect it." That was Adam's business. What went on outside the garden was not Adam's business. When that serpent was having that conversation, and people say, "Oh, you don't really believe that stuff, do you?" Of course I do. Let me tell you something. Any preacher that's going to be a pastor of a church that doesn't believe the Bible is true, he needs to move on. I believe the Bible is true. I posted the other day, I said, "Jonah, was he swallowed by a whale or a great fish?" We had a wonderful conversation. I learned some things. But let me tell you something. There's a difference between two people arguing over whether it was a whale or a great fish, and somebody over here arguing he wasn't swallowed at all. It's a myth. I believe the Bible. Somebody said, "Well, the difference between a whale and a fish, that's a modern designation. They didn't have that back then." I have to concede that point. I have to at least admit it could have been a whale. But I'm reminding the person who's insisting that it was a whale that the Bible in the Old Testament says great fish, and that in the King James in the New Testament there's a translation error that says whale when it should have said great fish. The New King James Version has great fish. The NIV has great fish. The NNAS and the NASB have sea monster. Elder Harris's father logged on Facebook and said, "Whatever it was, it happened." And I wrote back and said, "That's right, Elder. I'm going to tell you, whether it was a whale shark or a whale or a sea monster, something swallowed the man. I believe the Bible." Amen. I believe that that serpent literally had a conversation with Eve. Now, maybe it was telepathic. God changed that creature after the curse. He took away its legs and said it's going on its belly. So it could be that that creature was very intelligent and had the ability to articulate, and when he took away its legs and sent it away on its belly, he took away its ability to speak. All I know is the Bible says what it says. People say, "Oh no, the book of Genesis, it's a metaphor, it's a myth." No, it's not. And they'll say, "Tree doesn't mean tree, it means this, and river doesn't..." No, tree means tree, river means river. When that serpent came in and was having that conversation with Eve saying, "Did God really say, 'Oh, oh, you shall not surely die. Here's the real deal. God's holding out the good stuff on you. He knows if you eat of this, you'll be like God. When all that was going on, that was going on in the garden. That was going on somewhere that it was Adam's business. Adam was standing there watching his wife be deceived. Hey, man, speak up. This is your business. This is your house. This is your garden. That's your wife. This is your life we're talking about. Speak up! It's important for us to know our place. There's some areas where the last thing you need to do is speak up. Shut your mouth and keep it closed. That ain't your business. There's some. I'm amazed at people. Stuff they ought to say something about, they're just like... And stuff they got no business talking about, they're just all up in people's face. We need to switch that around. You need to be addressing your problems and not addressing their problems. This man knew his place. He said, I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go and he goeth, and to another, come and he cometh. To my servant, do this and he doeth it. Jesus looked at this noble Roman. The scripture says that when he heard it, he marveled. I don't think there were very many things that caught Jesus off guard. You know, as far as his deity, he's never caught off guard. But as far as his humanity, I kind of picture Jesus going. The scripture says when Jesus heard it, he marveled. And now you see this prophecy kick in, where the divine nature has revealed to the human nature something through prophecy. Jesus, in his humanity, understood that the people who did know the Mosaic law, the people who did have the covenant committed unto them, the people who were the ones that salvation had come to them first, they had preference, the people who had a place in the kingdom of God, or at least had access to keep a place in the kingdom of God, he said, they are going to be kicked out. They are going to be in outer darkness. But instead of Jews, people are going to come from everywhere, from the east and from the west. He said that when he's looking at a noble Roman centurion. He said, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Isn't it amazing? Israel was the place that he should have found faith. It was the people who had had the word of God delivered through them and unto them. It was the people who had the prophets. It was the people who had been delivered. The people who had the miracles. The people that had the relationship, the covenant, and the name of God. He should have found faith there. But he says, no, I got to look to this outsider, this Roman. And I find a faith so great in him, I can't find this faith in Israel. I hope that we live for him in such a way that God never has to say that of us. That you people had the Bible and had my spirit and had my name. You had water baptism. You had spirit baptism. You had a beautiful place to worship. You had a beautiful family of God to worship with. And yet I can't get any faith out of you. Don't let that ever be God's chastisement of us. He said, I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm just going to tell you folks the bottom line. When he mentions in that story about people who are not from Israel coming from the east and the west, that's us. Or at least I'm certainly trusting that that's us, and that's what I want to be. Amen. I'm going to get to meet Abraham. I'm going to get to meet Isaac. I'm going to get to meet Jacob. And if Adam and Eve are there, I'm going to get to meet them. I'm not even going to slug him. We're going to be amongst that people that's gathered from the east and the west and the north and the south, gathered together in the kingdom of heaven. But before he gets us there, he is working on us here. And I said, why do I have to put up with this? Because you're a diamond in the rough and he's trying to shine the rough off of you. Why does God put us through all this mess? Because he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the sun and the stars and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. But all this time, he's still working on me. He's worked on me way longer than he worked on making the universe. I have to be honest. There's been times just recently that I was crossways. There's been times just recently that I said something I shouldn't have said. Or it was the right thing to say, but I didn't say it in the right way. Somebody say amen. Amen. Or somebody say, oh me. There's been times just recently when I've done some things that prove He still doesn't have me to what He wants me to be. He still doesn't have me to what I need to be when I'm going to be over there. So I recognize I'm not worthy, but I'm praying, Lord, if you'll just say the word, a miracle can happen here. Amen. I talked to Sister Sandy once on the phone. She was sick. I said, you want us to come over? She said, no, just pray where you are. God can heal across distance. Faith. I'd like to think that the older I get, the closer I get to what I'm supposed to be. Some days, I wonder. I'm pretty sure on some days, God doesn't even wonder. He just knows for sure. Tim Pettigo, in the bridge to one song that they sang as the trio years ago, Tim Pettigo would say, I've still got a long way to go, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Oh, honey, we ought to sing that song. I've been born again. I've been born again. Amen. Thank God. I know where He's taken me, and I know where I used to be. And I know I'm not there yet, but thank God I'm not still there. So when I mess up next week, as I might, or the week after that, or if I don't mess up in the next 2 weeks, when I mess up the week after that, cut me a little slack. Because even though I'm not there yet, thank God I'm not still there. Amen. Do you know your place? Where are you in the journey? I believe it's in Psalm 119. It says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. His word illuminates where I'm going, but it also illuminates where I am. And if I don't recognize where I am, how am I going to know how to get where I'm going? When God's word reveals to you where you are in the journey, in so doing, He reveals to you what still needs changed. The only way I can progress from where I started to where I'm going is to have God's people, the Word of God, and the Spirit of God reveal to me my blind spots and then work to help Him change me. There's some parts of it, if He don't help me change, it ain't going to get changed. But I promise you, if you don't work at it and try, it ain't going to get changed either. I mentioned this several months ago. In one prayer session recently, the Lord, by way of a vision, took me out of myself. And He took me off to a bystander's point of view, and He showed me who I was. He showed me my blind spots. He showed me my weaknesses. I was utterly humbled. I mean, you talk about an embarrassing, humiliating thing. You know what? I'm thankful that He knew that I was strong enough to withstand that kind of vision. And I'm telling you before God that since that day, I have worked with Him to strive to get victory over the blind spots that He showed me. If you don't think you have any blind spots, that's because they're blind spots. If you know you have a weakness, you're not blind to that. It's the ones you don't know about. That's why we call them blind spots. David said this, Search me, O God. See if there be any wicked way in me. I want to tell you, as your pastor, even if it's only a teensy weensy tiny bit, you still have some wicked way in you. I still have some in me. And some of this, I'm blind to. And I need your help and the Bible's help and His Spirit helping me to see where I need to change.
This is part of knowing my place. It's realizing whether I'm here or here in the journey. I'd like to ask you to stand with me. When that little Asian man named Bunmark Geddeson knocked on the door of an apartment where evangelist Billy Cole was staying, it began a journey that eventually wound up with Billy Cole and Sister Cole going to Thailand as missionaries. And there in Thailand, this Presbyterian preacher, Bunmark Geddeson, who had the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, and who saw the truth of the oneness of God in that apartment that day, he knocked on the door and spoke to Billy Cole. He was baptized in Jesus' name 3 days later. But this great preacher, who was head of the Presbyterian Church in Thailand, who had the Holy Ghost speaking with tongues, who saw the revelation of the oneness of God and who was baptized in Jesus' name, this preacher had a blind spot. And he tormented Sister Shirley Cole. He tortured her. Decades later, near the time of his death, the Lord had finally been able to show this to him. He came to her pleading for forgiveness. The word Ajahn means reverend or teacher or master. It's a title of respect. And with tears, she told him, "Ajahn, I forgave you a long time ago. Let's not make it where we have to repent on our deathbed for stuff that we could have repented of earlier. Let's not make it where words that we spoke that were harsh, that cut and hurt people, that they were just scarred for years because we could not see our blind spot and we could not repent." Brother Jack Cunningham will jokingly say at a Holy Ghost rally, "Everybody here has something to repent for. And if you don't have anything to repent for, then just come repent for the sin of lying and saying you don't have anything to repent for." I want to encourage you folks, through preaching, through counsel with God's people, and through the power of His Spirit and through His Word, God is able to show you your blind spots. What is it? Maybe you lack self-discipline. Maybe you lack self-control. Maybe you have an addiction that you're facing. We need to prostrate ourselves before God and say, "Lord, get out a rear view mirror and help me see myself as I am, not as I would like to think I am." I want to ask you to come and find a place to pray tonight. Join me in asking God to help me see me as I really am.
For listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.